Don't you buy stocks? I actually have some WhatsApps here. One person is querying why a household, why persons in a household have to wait 6 hours to get a bus while others get 3 and 4 buses in that one time. And also as a follow-up, the person is suggesting that you can bring 1 million buses, but if the management is poor, then the problems would still stand. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I call with a heavy heart this morning. I appreciate that the focus initially resounded around the governor's report on the central bank report, and you had Mr. Natrum commenting. I do remember a critical aspect of the incoming government's, the new government's agenda was to stop the bleeding in terms of the economy and stuff, and we appreciate all of the effort that has been made. But while there has been some economic progress and the bleeding has somewhat stopped, the truth is that there has been blood flowing in our schools and in our streets. There has been a unprecedented state of affairs where almost 50 persons were killed, 50 young, well, many young men, and it seems to be going on unabated. I have called the program over the years, and I have spoken to some of the inadequacies in our juvenile justice system and the general justice system. The reality regarding around how we treat juvenile offenders, how we systemically have failed to have the requisite interventions, how we have misdirected the appropriate personnel in the agencies charged with these responsibilities. And the truth is that there is no simple approach, there's no simple answer. But the strategic interventions that are needed seem to come after the fact time and time again. And we have declined to a stage where our very way of life is being railroaded. And what the appropriate responses are seem to be not urgent. And I don't think that we can you know any longer turn a blind eye to these circumstances. It is to my mind a matter of life or death, literally. Our children have to grow up here. Our grandchildren, this Barbados that we love and care for, is under threat. And it's important that we bring serious political will, serious social engineering to treat to these issues. I mean, we cannot continue to sacrifice the way that we live and our societal desire for a life of better people on the altars of people's personal desire for position and whatever. This is more important. We as an inclusive society where we all have equal opportunity to you know, have a good life, have a decent life, there must be some will to treat to the issues of poor people's children. And time and time again, we continue to sacrifice them on the altars of you know, just ignoring the reality in our communities. I just want to put a couple of things on the table because it is important to me. It is, having worked in the system for a while, I've seen the circumstance, you know, continue to mm-hmm. implode. Now, community interventions is critical. I think for a long time, and I can speak of initiatives that have been started and stopped, where it is clear that we have difficulty at the community level in terms of how people are socialized, how families dysfunction, that kind of stuff. But there are agencies charged with certain mandates. Mm-hmm. And if we are going to be faithful to our mandate, then we have to be diligent in carrying out those functions. Now, community programming where we go into at-risk communities. We have lots of community centers around the island. There must be programs. There were programs, you know, that were tailored. I remember when I had the community in terms of the computering initiative, that was a noble program where centers were set up and anybody could go and learn technology. But we have, I think there must be a type of engineering, social engineering, that allows at-risk youth to come to community centers and be mentored, be engaged by, well, I'm sure many well-meaning, civic-minded people would avail themselves to help mentor young boys, young girls without father figures. We need to set up programs like this. We need to have the business sector pumping money into this. Government can't do it alone. This is our community. We cannot afford to build two bar businesses and leave the marginalized youth out there to fend for themselves and families to fend for themselves. This is, it is important that we recalibrate the whole notion of, maybe we can talk about how we got here. And I can get into the political stuff and I talk about the fact that after several years of exposed corruption, we're seeing the whirlwind. We're reaping the whirlwind of such stuff. We can make those points, and that's a reality. But ultimately, we have to treat to what's happening now, and we have to respond appropriately.
So, I endorsed the majority of your chapeau, and I do have a heavy heart as well. I do feel very passionate about this subject. It is one I don't talk very publicly about. But I do think that the wheels are moving too slow. I think that if we don't arrest it, not two Barbadoses, but we will be creating several elements of Barbados that our children, and you said it quite rightly, and you seem like a fly on the wall only on Wednesday, I had a pretty robust conversation with a colleague of mine, and we talked about almost everything you're saying. And one of the things I said to him is that if we want to live here, and our children want to live, and we want our children to live here, we should be putting mechanisms in place so that we will be free to let our children leave home and go places. I didn't use those words, but that's essentially what I mean. And I say that to say, we cannot have the Medes and the Persians kind of a culture and then don't expect there to be mutiny at some point or there to be, you know, people uprising. And the reality is that there are too many people who are being left behind. And you said some pretty interesting things, and we are really good at, you know, identifying what the problem is. Now, what are the next steps? I actually don't think that there should only be these programs that are set up where people can come into the community. I think people in the community have a responsibility to also play a role. And I said it in 2017 and 2018, and I said it in 2019, now I'm saying it in 2020. We can do a little bit more with the few tentacles that we have. Every single one, we have a sphere of influence. We can do our part. Who are we individually helping that can't do for themselves what we can do for ourselves? And a lot of times, the reality is that we have a lot of selfish people and they leave. You just said something that government can't do it alone, that the private sector should also pump some funds into it. And I also dare say sometimes the sports clubs and those other, there are entities out there that play a critical role, but we treat them as these separate and distinct from. But I was talking to someone only 2 days ago, and I shared with them the value that extracurricular activities have on our youth. And we need to force and push and press upon our teachers to force and to ensure that our children do something else other than just come school and leave. Because I can't tell you the value that extracurricular activities have done for me as a young person when I was growing up. They help you with conflict resolution. They help you with dealing with people. They help you with, even with your own self-esteem. You go through different challenges and you better understand. You help you to respect adults and different things. You help you to learn how to work in a team. All of those crucial skills that we need, that I can see that a lot of our youth are missing. And if you go to school and you go to school for 5 years and you leave school and you don't have anything, then something is wrong with the system. So I fully agree with you, but I go beyond that. And people minimize the discussion and limit it to common entrance and then which school the child goes to. Yes, that's a part of it. But it is, are we putting all of the mechanisms in place and are our social systems working? And I say that we need to do a recalibration. So I fully agree with you 100%. And I'll go further. You talked about the 50 deaths. But we have a lot of covered up domestic abuse that happens in this country. We have a lot of covered up, not only just the fighting, because we minimize that. We see that as, you know, yes, you get beaten or whatever. But we have sexual abuse that happens in this country. Then we have a lot of old people who suffer in their homes. Their own families are taking advantage of them. We have a lot of things, a lot of societal ills, sir, that are swept under the carpet. And then if a person comes along and realizes that, you know what, this body ain't care about me, this body ain't taking care of me, nobody don't care. And then they become don't care. And then they can kill, stab, and shoot comfortably and bat not an eye. So we have a scenario where if we don't address some of the social ills, we're going to create a society that we cannot handle. And I agree with you in a number of ways. My producer is telling me that we need to move on. But I'm going to thank you for your call. I'm giving one quick chance if you can add quickly and then.
You zone in on a very important point in the whole question of care. Mm-hmm. Now, there are agencies charged with caring for these vulnerable groups. Mm-hmm. And invariably, the persons who lead these agencies do not reflect that caring mentality. And that is the root of the issue. Mm-hmm. It filters down into these organizations and it sets them back. That needs to be dealt with.
Whoa. Well, that's something that needs to be dealt with in truth, because over time, I noticed too, I was having a conversation with another one of my colleagues in the International Women's Forum, and she said that for a long time, we talk about coming and helping the young people, etc., but what about the caregivers? They also need some care as well, so we must not leave them out. Sometimes they may feel as though they've extended care for so long, and nobody is paying any attention to them, so even as we do our recalibration, we need to also look and see what are some of those people's needs, because I spoke to one of them quite recently. The lady said to me she dealt with a sick mother for about four years. Then shortly thereafter, her father died, and she's a caregiver, a principal caregiver for an organization. So yes, I say yes, they too also need to exhibit care, but they themselves are also probably going through some personal challenges that inhibit their ability to go on. But I'm going to thank you for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, we have two notices. A suitcase dropped out of a vehicle in the Kendall Hill area. The owner is asked to call 244-6758 to retrieve it. That would be 244-6758 to retrieve a suitcase that dropped off of a vehicle. Sylvia White lost her ID card and other cards, and she can collect them at the St. George Post Office from security. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I actually have two WhatsApp, two comments. One person asked, I think they were referring to the previous caller, whether they were aware of the Thorn Commission, where you can raise matters there. And then another caller mentioned that they wanted to give kudos to some gentlemen from St. John who cleaned their... They said that since the beginning of the year, there were two gentlemen in St. John who've been cleaning the roads. They started just below Orchid World, St. George, onto Market Hill, and they're currently working on the road outside Bourne's Village, St. George. These two men must be commended. They're clean and they're very thorough, and I know this because I passed the road on the very next day, and there's no debris and what they would have cleaned on the road, and it's an excellent job. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hello, hi, Alexa. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay. My main thing I came to talk about was tourism, but the gentleman that was on before, mm-hmm. I just want to add something to it from my observation. Okay. And this is that I noticed from growing up also now that Barbados has developed you know, it's physical infrastructure and stuff like that. But emotionally, we as a people are still way behind. And this is something that's very critical that needs to be developed. And I believe that this is also one of the reasons why we need to become efficient as a country of our size, because then that, where we make those savings, can then be put into our human talent to help the society become a better place.
Very good. Very well said. Are you aware of the EQ Barbados movement, which started in 2019 by Tony Alton?
Yes, I heard it mentioned a few times, and yes, I am starting to become aware of it.
Yes. He's really trying to get more Barbadians to improve on their emotional intelligence. You become a better decision maker. You have more consequential thinking. You relate better with your colleagues, etc. So,
if and more Barbadians, seminar which he conducted, I find his skills are
extremely
fantastic.
Good. Yes,
getting across the message and stuff
very
like
much
that.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
My concern that I want to discuss with you is tourism, and in regards to a couple things.
Okay.
And that is how we market our product and what product we have on sale for the world. And one of my concerns is that we may be heading down a road where we're going to water down this product, one. Two, what is the potential, and has anybody seen what the potential is for Airbnb and home away from home and these types of technologies for use and development of the Barbados tourism product outside of hotels? My concern is that we might water it down by having too many hotels.
Airbnb and what?
And home away from home.
Yes, and you know that they're here already.
Yes, I know. That's what I mean. I mean, in terms of, I know that there are Barbadians doing it, but
yes.
Have we done any research to say, okay, a Barbados as a country can our capacity is X. Do you understand?
Okay.
So that we don't necessarily need to have 300-400 room hotels, because we as a country can do that business
along
in terms
with
of home away from home, and that way the money would be coming directly into our economy.
We have
a company, a management company on the outside where the people keep their money out, and you know.
There's a young gentleman, his name has evaded me, but he actually is the president of the, it's something to do with tourism entrepreneurs, of which the Airbnb has, that's under him.
Right.
And they're doing a pretty good job. They've done some research as well. So when you said research just now, it kind of piqued my interest, because
right.
I would have met him about 2 or 3 years ago when he approached me, and he's been doing some work on that. So as to keep a good tally of those Airbnb entities,
right.
So that they would technically know the capacity, number of rooms, where they are, which part of the parish, and be able to map parts of the country in the respective parishes, and be able to map properly if there were to be any requests for data. Yes.
And one of the reasons why I say this is that I have experience, because I have two friends who participate in the home, you know, the Airbnb type experience.
Yes.
And they try to be on the higher end in terms of the service they provide. And the thing is that their guests participate in a whole lot of another range of services that are provided by local Barbadians, photographers,
yes.
Products. Actually, one of my friends, every time he puts in the coffee that is brewed and that is roasted here in the apartment, the guests take it with them.
Mm.
And there are other products that they take with them that are produced here locally.
Yes.
And to me, this is where we can put our product in these people's homes, where it might be challenging to get, you know, trade agreements with certain countries and stuff like that. You have persons who come here and take the product back. And then you'll have, you know, when they come again or when they recommend it to their friends, that they would get some more product, you know, carried back home with them. And this is the way to sell product without having to jump through the hoops of, you know, the trade agreements and the different things you have to have and all these things in place.
Yeah.
So these are the things that I wonder about, and I would hope that someone in the tourism sector would be able to come on and enlighten us. As to, you know,
there has been some work done over the last, I must say, since the National Tourism Host Program started, there was some work done. Both Miss Carrie Hall and Mrs. Marsha Aline, they've done a tremendous amount of work in kind of mapping the product of Barbados. Actually, Carrie Hall is now in the Ministry of Tourism, and Miss Marsha is now the Chief Product Development Officer in the ministry, in the BH, Barbados Tourism Marketing Inc. And what they've done, they've pulled out a lot of what we kind of missed when we sold Barbados, and they've now more or less identified what the product is, and we know it is not a homogenous product. We have all different types of elements of Barbados beyond just attractions and hotels. And this is what you're saying, that there's the other element, like the other services, the added-on services that we don't talk about a lot, the photography and the small things like the little trinkets, etc. And you know, you know good well, a lot of our tourists come here for the Barbados experience. They don't come here to see a replica of North America or wheresoever they've come. They come to experience our people. I actually had a quite interesting engagement recently. Where was I? I was somewhere and we had an engagement with some tourists someday last week, and it has evaded me already.
Right.
But they were talking about the Barbados experience and how special the people are, and they come back all the time, and you know. And I also know for sure that we have a very high, I remember doing, when I was doing my master's internship, I did it at the Ammon Hotel in St. Peter, and we had a very high, we have, Barbados has a very, very high return rate, where people continue to come. They don't even say, well, let me just go and pop down Grenada and pop in Trinidad and go this place and go that place. They continue to come here because of this awesome, intangible experience that they continue to get, that they can't package it. It is so elusive. They have to come back again and get piece more, you know. So we do have something special, and our people need to know the blessing of Barbados, because Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grandees talked about the idea of Barbados. Barbados is truly special, but I find we spend a lot of time not necessarily understanding what we have. And it is oftentimes when you travel and see what other people have, then you come back and say, oh, Barbados is really a special place.
And I have two experiences to share with you in connection with that. Mm-hmm. One is one of my same friends, he invited some of his guests over because he had a lime at his house. Mm-hmm. And interacting with them, realize that they travel a lot, and they travel for experiences. They actually travel to go to restaurants. Didn't go to the sea. Like, his location is overlooking the sea and stuff, and it's fine, and they're like that, but they really travel to experience the food and the unique restaurants. That's what they're interested in. And I realized from doing research that that's a large part of the travel market in the world today.
Travel for food.
Basically, they only came for like 4 days, and they wanted to go to a different place for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and see what it's like. And they had some fun, and they went to karaoke in whole town, and these are things that they were interested in. And you know, the Monday morning, they're on the plane, and they're gone.
Yes, I met a couple. Interestingly, now that you said that, I met a couple who stayed at an all-inclusive. We were having our staycation in the summer, and we just ended up talking to the couple, and the gentleman said, he's going off. This was breakfast. He had to leave because he had to go off. He didn't stay for breakfast. He just grabbed a cup of coffee or something. But he's going to breakfast. But this is all inclusive. He said they go to different restaurants. They're just here in Barbados. Yes, they chose an all inclusive, I guess, to cover everything. But they go out to lunch, dinner, and they don't eat at the hotel. Only, I think it is only the coffee, the morning coffee that they would grab, but they actually go out elsewhere. And I was amazed that somebody can book and stay at an all-inclusive and then still not participate in the food. So do have those types of stories. There was another one. There's another point.
Yeah. And then I traveled last year, and I was wondering if I should say where I traveled to, but I think I should. This was in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, it was a paid trip, you know, a gift.
Paid as in not you didn't pay for it, because all trips are paid for.
Yes. And I actually found the experience a little sanitary, meaning that
sanitized.
I find some of the staff was not, I'm just doing a job. You know, they weren't as, they weren't as interactive, and I was wondering if that's because the product is so large. because you could tell I went to the serious numbers, and I was wondering if this is as a result of that. You know,
it could be.
Just like,
it could
you
be.
Know,
the, you
I'm,
see,
you
yeah,
know, I'm in this place. I'm doing the job, and that's it. You know,
I've been to Bahamas twice, and I don't have a particularly memorable experience in terms of the. I know it was on business, so really maybe I was distracted, but. You can have that based on sometimes just the personality or the day that the person is having. And that's why we constantly have to remind our colleagues, our Barbadian folks, to see and value what they do and to treat our tourists and give them a good experience on a continual basis. Yeah,
especially when they come to Barbados. They come
especially
from so far.
They
spend so much money. Mm-hmm. And for a person, like the... Like the guest that I met that traveled
to build
the restaurants and stuff like that. Like, I think one of them had an experience at a bar, and it wasn't too pleasant, but she didn't let that put her off. But my whole thing was, like, this is a person who might
came
not
here.
Come back because they travel to go around the world, but then they have their friends, you know.
Who they can tell a story to.
Exactly, you know.
Yes.
And if that's not you don't want them to tell a bad story.
Yes.
You want them to say, yeah, go to Barbados and go to this bar, go to this restaurant.
Yes.
Right, because she says, like, it's quite challenging for her to come back here within 2 years because they're going, she was saying, like, within 2 or 3 months, they're going to go to Yugoslavia and some
Well,
other
you were talking to the rich and famous.
No, not actually. I think because that's what they do. They don't
the
have
rich
any
and
children
famous.
And they travel, you know,
yes.
Where they're from, they're able to get cheap airline fares because they say they travel. Like if they go to Europe, they would then catch the bus and the train, and you know, they just stay somewhere for 2 days, and you know, they go back, and you know, that kind of stuff. So
thank you. I'm going to thank you so much. I hope that you call again and let us talk some more about improving our tourism product. This is Don't Brass Tax. Don't Brass Tax. Good morning. Don't Brass Tax. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing, my dear?
Doing well, thanks.
I am just offering my humble obeisances and prayers to those persons in China and all over the world. Us too that are experiencing this virus that is very deadly. Because I will use this spiritual phrase from the Bible. I wouldn't speak from the Quran or the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra or the ancient book, text of the Kabbalah. By speaking from knowledge of our present time, except the Lord build a house, the laborers that labor in vain. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I think it's by time that we, the people in Barbados, whom God has actually looked upon or breathed upon, set a standard. And the standard that we must set is that we must be satisfied in all spheres of life. Because that we must first realize that tourism is good. There's nothing wrong with tourism. But what are we putting in place as sustenance, sustaining our people in the case of an emergency in the international world? What I'm saying, I'm trying to explain to you, we have enough agricultural land that can suffice us for years. And we must come to a realization that we are living in the time that is printed in all the scriptures, the ancient prophets have left it. And it is here, but we fail to realize that there's a day coming. In the last days, he says the days will be shortened. If you look, it was just last year just begun and it's end. But people say, oh, day is 24. Yes, it is 24 hours. But God is so spiritual and miraculous that he can do things that man's capacity cannot comprehend because he is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth and not in talk. Because spirituality is totally different from religion. Religion is people's dogmas that they say you do this when you come in that. But spirituality is a constant personal relationship with God so that you automatically see the future. And that is why I'm saying that Barbados is a special country that God have chiseled out. We have so many churches. Because it is the reason why there are these amount of churches. Because God have a plan for the entire world from a small country. But we must realize we must first set our house in order. What are we doing for screening persons who come in on ships and come into Barbados? Because Barbados is such a small population that if you become inoculated with this virus, it will wipe you out. I mean, I may not have a degree, 16 degrees, but I does have a relationship because I don't stop praying. Because except we pray, we a lot. We start our programs, we don't pray, we start everything just as we are God. We are not God, we are servants of God. And there's so many scriptures. In Egypt, there was going to be a famine in Egypt. And some person had a vision. The king had a vision. And also the other person had a vision who was godly. And he saw seven cows that were beautiful. And the seven ring-straight cows ate up all of those fat-looking cows. But the king didn't have no kind of rip. He couldn't understand. And it was an intersection. It was, I'm speaking about Joseph. He was in prison because that Potiphar's wife wanted to do all sorts of things with him. She fell in love with him because of his spirituality, he was very handsome. And he gave a vision was given, and he said, well, if some prayer you saw the birds eat up the bread, or you're going to die. And this one said, I was restored because I was the wine giver to Pharaoh. And he was able to tell the king that they're going to have 7 years of famine. I use famine first, and 7 years of plenty. And he said, well, you have to do 7 years of plenty, store your corn, because I'm going to destroy the whole of the African peninsula. And the whole world, because it was the world in entirety, was Hispaniola, or Hispanopora, which was the whole world governed by king. So what I'm trying to explain to you, my dear friend, is that we in Barbados, as a spiritual place that we say we are, we can cause the little problems that we have to be simple by praying for our leaders, praying for the minister of government that they will not be cheating. Because these things can be done. God can do anything. There's nothing beyond God. But we try to limit God with our own yardstick because that we have this economical degree and this economics, and yet still you people wrong. So I would take back the money from them. If you're an economist, you're a great economist, why should my country fail? It should be making 100%, 99.9%. I mean, according to mathematical equations. So I'm saying to you, my dear friend, that we and the people of Barbados, we should pray in earnest because we are at the crossroads. The whole world is at the crossroads because the people believe that their scientific ideologies can solve God problems. God problems can only solve by prayer and sincerity. Not saying you're a Christian today and then engaging in same-sex marriage the next day. It is total nonsense. And we got to come to the realization that God's hands is on the latchet and he's about to come to establish a kingdom. People don't understand the scripture. Because if you read the scripture, behold, the kingdom of God at hand. I heard a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then you hear John the Baptist came. He said, behold, there's one among you whose latchet am not even. And then it was the Messiah. Or Jesus the Christ, not Jesus Christ as people cursed. It's Jesus the Christ. Because it's a degree that he reached because of perfection that he said, behold, I call you to perfection. He said, so I call all humanity. Oh, nobody can't be perfect. Nobody can't see God. But yet still on the Beatitudes, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When God speaks, it is spoken, nobody can see God. You thought you are atheist, you're a fool. Because this is, blessed are the pure in heart, and except your heart be pure, you cannot see God. You can tell me I can't see God. You can't do that. Because it is an individual personal relationship.
Thank you so much for your contribution. He says, except the Lord builds the house, it is built in vain. No truer words. And we have to pray and be sincere. This is Dr. Brass Talks.
Good morning, Mrs. Gale.
Good morning.
I would first like to make a comment. In early January, a group of us seniors went and had breakfast at Quayside. And it was at this English breakfast place.
Okay.
And the lady who served us, I mean, we haven't stopped talking about how she treated us and how she served us and our whole attitude. I know everybody doesn't have that same attitude. I know some days are bad days, but that is what tourists are looking for. Now, my second thing is I came out of St. Patrick's this morning. I saw a hired van stop by the open spot in front of St. Patrick's onto the beach. The people couldn't park there because there's a big fence up and a board saying beach access, which is a narrow lane to the beach. I was so surprised. And these people in this hired van, they're all looking and wondering, what is happening?
So they wanted to park on the...
They wanted to park on the normal parking place. When we have a wedding or funeral at St. Patrick, mm-hmm. people park in that open park. When we go to the beach, that's where we park. But there's a big fence, all fencing it off, mm-hmm. and a large signpost saying beach access, and it's a narrow beach access. And obviously, these are barbarians who've come back for the gathering. And you should have seen how horrified they were and how upset they were and how much noise they were making about it. And I wonder, how come everything in Barbados that used to be open and accessible to ordinary people like me and like you maybe now cannot get to use these places because they're all being fenced off and blocked off and they've got big rocks for you to climb over. It's really sad. It is very sad. Sad, sad, sad. Thank you very much for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. I'm only hoping that the family would have been able to go over to the western side, a little bit more northwestern side, and parked over there by the other car park, the original and legitimate car park. I hope that's not the one that was fenced in. But thanks so much for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Dr. Bassax, I actually have a WhatsApp here. It says, I'm very concerned about people waiting in the sun and rain at the licensing authority from as early as 6 a.m. I was there this morning to renew my license, and I had to wait in the hot sun along with approximately 50 other persons. I also feel that the licensing authority office, where the most of the people do their business, it opens too late. The said office opens at 8:30. And we as Barbadians aren't asking for much. If some form of roofing or canopy can be built on the outskirts of these buildings and some benches placed under them to accommodate us, we will appreciate it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. We have 18 minutes before the hour of 12 o'clock until today, the 31st of January. We're going until 1 p.m. today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Okay. I have two questions there. You know, I heard the guy first caller talking about the sewage. Mm-hmm. So I want to know where the sewage is going now. Will that cause problem to the beaches?
Same thing I told the caller, the technicians, the technocrats, the people who know, the scientists, mm-hmm. are the ones who will be better placed to answer those questions for you.
Okay. Another thing.
Yes.
With the, I say, like, on the calling show, I say everybody praising the tourism board that is doing a good job and so on. Mm-hmm. But it don't make it just of the tourism board. If not for the workers at the hotels, the tourism won't come if they don't get a good service.
Very good point.
Nobody do not praise the gardeners, the cleaners, the housekeepers, the waiters and the waitress.
So you praise. Let me give you the opportunity to say what you want to say. Let me hear you. Let us hear you, please.
Yeah, you should praise.
No, you should. I want you to give kudos to them now.
Yes, well, I praise all the hotel workers in the hotel, the waiters, the waitresses, the housekeepers, mm-hmm. the gardeners, the porters, whoever that work in the hotel, because nobody do not praise them. They always praise the tourism board that are doing a good job. But without them, the tourists will not come to Barbados.
That's a good point.
I forget the cooks.
Because the food is important.
Yeah, I hear you talking about food, but I hear you talk about cooks.
The sous chef, the commis sous chef, all of those chefs.
Executive chef, all of them.
Yes.
Nobody don't look at them.
The barmen, the bartenders. We also have those people who, the host and the hostesses. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of different
Yeah, because I see everybody looking at the top, but they don't look at the bottom and have not for the bottom. The can't reach the top. It's the bottom that do all the
reality
hard work.
The reality is that all of... I wouldn't say that it is the bottom that does only the hard work. I would say that there's what you call division of labor. And we have the minders, the grinders, and the finders. No.
But you need to
just hear me out. There's value in the minders. there's value, a big value and contribution of the miners. There's a big value of contribution of the grinders, and there's a big value and contribution of the finders. Now, let me just break it down quickly for you.
Mm-hmm.
The finders usually are the people who go out and do what we call business development. They're the ones who make the business come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
and then we have the, I said, what did I call it just now? I called it the, who did I speak to first? The ones who bring in the business. Right, those are the finders. And then we have the grinders. They do quite a bit. They are what we call the middle management. And they make sure that the job is done. They do a little bit of strategy. They do a little bit of, there's a term for it. They are the go-between between the two entities, so they will be, strategy and project managers and I want to limit it to the hotel now, so let's just call it the hotel managers and the persons who are the duty managers, etc. And then we have the grinders now, which are the people who do what you are referring to now as the donkey work. You are saying that they are the ones who do most of the work.
Porters are all of them,
but they are the ones who bring value. Yeah, and I think it is good. It is a good. It is a very good point to me that it isn't only the tourist board or only the.
On the side, they present all the hotel workers. Listen, yes. I present all the orcas. All present.
I told you so just now. You took very long to come to that point. So, Miss, we have a caller here. She refers to herself as Miss Undecided, and she has indicated that there's a lot of value of all hotel workers. And I want you to also know that the industry, the tourism industry, is not limited to hotels. It also has the attractions, it has the transportation, the whole logistics. There's a whole chain for tourism. So when they come into Barbados, there are the immigration workers. So there are a whole set of people who play a role in this tourism industry. And then we have the indirect players where you may have, like quite recently I went to an entity in Lower Estate. I wouldn't call the name, but they supply a lot of materials to the hotels. So indirectly they're playing a role as well. There are some, we call the suppliers, and their employees are also working to advance tourism as well. So that's why people argue that it is an industry that has a lot of spill-off. I don't know if you heard the conversation earlier about the trickle-down effect and how the other sectors are not as, they're not moving or they're not growing as fast as the tourism industry itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there is, in fact, that indirect element to tourism as well that we must not ignore. So even, for example, someone down Bridgetown, you may ask yourself, what role do they play in tourism? And they're just a shop. But when the tourists leave the same cruise ships, whether home porting or otherwise, they come to Bridgetown and participate in what trading we may have, that worker is also a part of the tourism industry and can also benefit from it.
But I want to know too, what precaution you all have for the tourists? Because the workers in the hotel, them is the people that is meet the tourists. I mean, with this coronavirus that going on, what precaution to have for them?
Yes, there's ongoing discussion, both at the level of the Barbados Port Inc. as well as the Grantley Adams International. They also are having discussions and they're putting a plan in place. I think the more information that comes to the fore and the more liaising that they will have with their counterparts abroad, because, we had one supposed case in Jamaica, and the health minister particularly said he was taking as much precaution as possible because they didn't know. So they took that person who had come from in the Middle East, and the person was coming from China, actually. The person had done, when you looked at their passport, they had done some traveling in the same area, not necessarily Wuhan, but they were in proximity. And they thought that they would take as much precaution as possible. I actually spoke to someone in Jamaica, and they said it was really merely just precaution, but they were on lockdown on that specific day. I was just checking in on a family member to ensure that all was well, and they did indicate what was happening at the... So yes, a lot of discussions are going on, and the strategy, of course, is being put in place. The Ministry of Health, the ministries of Health, Foreign Affairs, Trade, and the others are having a discussion. But other security personnel are as well are also having a discussion, because you know that is a very present and real threat. And as the World Health has called it, it is actually a global emergency. I called it crisis, but it is a global emergency because it had the impact, the very impact that in interaction of a person with that virus can have on another person. And look what it does to, they said, the kidneys and other body organs. It can be very devastating and deadly.
So we have short flights from going to China and China's flights to coming here.
Well, I only heard that Antigua and Barbuda is the one who would have put the travel ban on China. I haven't heard of any other country. And countries are well within their right to do such. So it is interesting to see how this is going to play out and what I was actually reading last night about what's, you know, the genesis of it, where it would have originated in animals and never been found or seen in humans. So this one is pretty interesting. How did that happen? And, you know, a whole set of discussion is ongoing as it relates to the coronavirus. But your contribution as it relates to the tourist, I think that's very useful, and many persons within the industry would really appreciate your comments.
And the sewage plant, the sewage too, that won't put in where it's supposed to put instead of uprising.
So where would you suggest? The reason why I...
The minister said that it's supposed to go somewhere further out, so that needs to go where it's supposed to put.
Where is that?
The minister said somewhere far out, further out to sea. But it over by Worthing, and if it keep it there all the time, that would damage the beaches.
Okay. So I also see here Trinidad has also imposed the restriction of travelers from China, and I'm sure many other countries will get to that stage where they. But we do have, and it was interesting to hear that we do have a few students who are currently studying in China. Actually, yesterday I heard that in Dominica alone, they had students from Dominica had in the teens, like about 17 students who were studying there. And a number of them were
close to... But you hear what Trinidad said this morning? That that means them who that went to China can't come there. They have to go somewhere else. So I hope with that, we go bring them to Barbados, let us stop it there for the time being.
Right, they have to be quarantined. Yeah, and that's not a... That's not an inhumane position. I think they're trying to safeguard the rest of the population.
Yes, and I agree with Trinidad. And the AG should come out and say something, stop the flights from going to China and the flights that come into Barbados too, 2 and 4. Miss Lisa?
Yes, ma'am.
Today is my birthday.
Whoa, what a beautiful woman you are. My son actually had his 11th birthday yesterday, so a big... Happy birthday to you. I hope that you have a wonderful day and many more years to come. Enjoy it, please.
Thank you, darling.
I know you're drinking your non-alcoholic wine or your alcoholic. It doesn't matter. Just make sure you don't drive and drink or drink and drive.
All right.
But yes, this is Dr. Brass Sachs. Thank you.